This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 507, up 7 3/4. July corn, 513, up 7 3/4. September corn, 511 3/4, up 6 1/4. May soybeans, 1482.5, up 18 1/4. July soybeans, 1461.5, up 13 1/4. August soybeans, 1383 1/4, up 10 1/2. May wheat, 681, up 4 3/4. July wheat, 689 1/4, up 5 3/4. September wheat, 698 3/4, up 6. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. Corn advanced on the advance estimates of the lower ending stocks in the USDA report. Soybeans are pointed upward on tight old crop supplies, even in the face of Brazilian imports. And wheat posted gains with continued dryness in the plains, causing a reduction in crop ratings. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 to 10 cents higher, at 474 to 502. Soybeans were 18 to 20 cents higher at 1440 to 1477. And in central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted corn bids 8 cents higher at 474 to 502. Soybean bids were 12 to 18 cents higher at 1476 to 1491. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 7 to 8 cents higher at 487 to 517. Soybean bids were 19 to 20 cents higher at 1462 to 1493, and wheat bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at 650 to 697. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were 18 cents higher at 1490 to 1518, with the basis steady at 7 to 35 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 493.10 to 528.10 per ton, and that was $3.80 higher, with the basis steady at 15 to 50 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 8 cents higher at 503 to 513, with the basis steady at 4 under to 6 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 9 to 10 cents higher at 510 to 514, with the basis 1 to 2 higher at 3 to 7 over the May. Soybeans ended 17 to 20 cents higher at 1475 to 1486, with the basis mixed at 8 under to 3 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 6 to 7 cents higher at 662 to 667, the basis steady to 1 higher at 22 to 27 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 10 to 14 cents higher at 535 to 538. These elevators raised their soybean prices 20 to 21 cents with quotations of 1496 to 1511. Soft wheat closed 3 to 5 cents higher at 708 to 712, and Milo ended the day 7 to 8 cents higher the 525 to 527. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn was 473 to 488. Soybeans were 1171 to $12. To $12. Central Illinois corn bids were 473 to 491, and soybeans 1184 to 1203. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 466 to 493, and soybeans from 1186 to 1217. Wheat bids ran from 645 up to 676. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 143.32, up 30 cents. June live cattle, 135.27, up 35 cents. August live cattle, 132.65, down 2 cents. April feeder cattle, 178.30, up 80 cents. May feeder cattle, 178.87, up 2 cents. August feeder cattle, 180.57, up 7 cents. April lean hogs, 123.30, down $1.72. May lean hogs, 118.12, down $2.62. June lean hogs, 118.75, down $2.92. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 8th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.26 lower in the range of $118 to $123.03, with a weighted average carcass price of $122.93. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 85 to 88, 4 to 5 weights 87 to 97, 5 to 6 weights 91 to 98, and 600 pounds and up were 93 to a dollar. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts or country buying points were trading $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $84 up to $92. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,287 head. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 308 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $129.85, and that was a penny lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $226.99. That was 94 cents lower, with select carcasses at $216.97, and that was 98 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000, which compared to 118,000 last week and 122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 416,000, which compared to 415,000 last week and 412,000 a year ago. Now on to the Arthur Sale Barn weekly hay auction report. They had receipts of 741 bales, alfalfa premium quality small squares, 675 to 1150. Large bales were 80 to 87. And premium quality alfalfa orchard grass small squares, 575 to $6. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares, $4. Large squares were 50 to 57. Large rounds were 39. Good quality orchard grass, small squares, large squares, 40 to 55. Mixed grass, good quality small squares, $3.25 to $5. And large rounds, $25 to $35 a bale. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.04. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.03. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.95. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.94. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.75. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.72. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.64. May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.61. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.76. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.04, corn at Scottville is $4.95, beans at Greenfield are $14.75, beans at Scottville are $14.64, and wheat at Scottville is $6.76. Tax season is upon us, and as those 2013 numbers float around in your head, there's already a major change to think about for 2014. It deals with Section 179. Rick Wagner is with Ide Bailey Tax Consultants.
In 2013, there was a 179 deduction where you could accelerate your depreciation and your write-off of your equipment. That was $500,000 as a limitation in 2013. Right now in 2014, that's only $25,000. Now there are some momentum at the Congress to get that changed, but at this point it hasn't been changed. And so you're going to need to do some planning for that also on your equipment purchases.
Wagner says it's important to see your tax consultant more than just when it's time to do year-end numbers. At that point, they're just a scorekeeper. Get them involved with your tax strategy year-round. China is the world's largest pork consumer and has recently imposed tougher restrictions for live pig imports from the U.S. due to concerns surrounding the PED virus. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has been asked to test live hogs and certify they come from herds unaffected by the virus. Live hog exports are just a small part of the U.S. pork exports to China, but still important. A USA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service spokesman says the agency is capable and willing to comply with China's new requirement for testing and certification, but will also work with China to eliminate the requirement. And here is your first weekly crop report of the state for the season. Spring weather brought severe storms and heavy rainfall to most of the state last week. Many producers took advantage of the few dry days and applied anhydrous to the fields they didn't get to in the fall. Statewide temperatures averaged 45.7 degrees, which is 1.6 degrees below normal. While most of the state experienced cooler weather, temperatures in the southwest and southeast districts were slightly above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 2.09 inches, 1.41 inches above normal, with more than a 2-inch increase in the west-southwest, east-southeast, southwest, and southeast districts. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 6% short, 74% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 7% very short, 22% short, 64% adequate, and 7% surplus. Winter wheat conditions were rated at 3% very poor, 7% poor, 40% fair, 42% good, and 8% excellent. Farmers have their minds set on spring planting. This season, planting intentions show that more soybean acres are likely to be out there. I spoke with German Seed and Chemicals' Jared German to see if he had noticed that trend in our area.
With my local customers, I have not noticed a large shift towards soybeans. But I have noticed that the soybean seed has been selling more quickly and the available supply throughout the company-wide selection has gotten tighter this year. I have noticed that Liberty Link's side of the soybean market is even tighter than the Roundup Ready side, as some farmers are exploring other modes of combating Roundup-resistant weeds in their fields.
Right, the glyphosate resistance was kind of a problem last year, so I'm sure a lot of farmers are very much more interested in the Liberty Link this year.
Right.
And do you have recommendations, in addition to choosing Liberty Link soybeans or something similar, for farmers to use when they're trying to combat problems this year?
Well, Roundup-resistant weeds are a growing problem. There are still ways to combat the problem with the Roundup Ready system, but there is thought and planning that needs to go into it. I go to a meeting every year where the chemical reps discuss the problem. Palmer amaranth is the weed that every one of them brings up. The weed is a big problem in the south and moves closer to Montgomery County every year. We already have problems in some weeds, and the main two right now are water hemp and mare's tail. Burn down programs and residuals are becoming more and more important. Fall burn down programs are more popular every year, and I think are a great way to fight weed resistance. The best way to control a weed is to never let it start growing. If farmers have switched the type of the seed they are using, yeah, there are things that has to be kept in mind, and still residuals are the key to keeping soybean fields clean.
Right, and hopefully we can combat that early, because I hear that if we don't combat it soon, then some farmers may have to look at getting labor forces out and actually weeding their fields.
That's
it might get
right.
That drastic.
That's right. The Palmer amaranth, nothing's controlling it at the time, especially post-emergence. And they are actually hiring people to walk the fields and chop them down with like a corn knife or something like that, and they pile it on the end of the fields and burn it. So that's a major disaster in that area if it gets out of hand.
Well, let's hope that we can avoid that this season.
That's right.
And we've been having quite a lot of rain lately, and I know that over time technologies have gotten better to allow us to keep nutrients in the soil, in the fields, where we put them. But with all this rain, is there still any concern of nutrients leaving the fields?
Well, this year so far, there shouldn't be an issue with the recent rain causing nutrient loss. The soil's been very dry, even though we had a lot of snow over the winter. The deep freeze just kept the moisture out. Nearly all the rain that we've had so far has been soaked up into the soil. There's been very little water standing in the fields, and we're still in a deficient state on soil moisture following last summer. And I'm still hearing from the construction people that you get below where the frost line was and it's still pretty dry.
So in other words, we still need all of this rain.
That's correct.
All right. And as planting season approaches, it's always important that our farmers stay safe. So do you have any big safety tips for farmers out there as they get into planting season or as they're putting different modes of action down on their fields?
Well, I think this goes to not only the farmers, but just everybody that's out in the farming community. The best thing I can think of for the farmers is remember your safety equipment. They're there for a reason, whether it's the safety shields or safety switches on equipment, slow-moving vehicle signs, or the flashing hazard lights when you're going down the road. And also going on to the people that don't farm but are traveling on the same roads, share the road, be cautious when approaching the farm machinery on the roads, and remember that if you can't see them, they can't see you as well.
Right. And everybody's going to have to be a little bit patient because all of that large machinery does move a lot slower than your typical cars on the road.
I think about the fastest tractor I've ever seen is about 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, so that's a big difference if you're going down a 55-mile-per-hour country road.
Right.
All right, so everyone stay safe out there. Now, do you have anything else you want to touch on before we go here today?
No, I don't think so. If anybody's needing anything, even advice or just wanting to talk some stuff over on residuals, like I said, I brought that up. That's a big key to fighting the Roundup resistant weeds. I offer a full line of ag chemicals and seeds, so if they need anything, just give me a call.
Again, that was German Seed and Chemicals, Jared German. This week, Macoupin County 4-H'ers are celebrating 4-H Week as a way to raise awareness for the organization. I spoke with 4-H member Cody Brown about his 10-year 4-H experience.
Well, for Macoupin County 4-H Week, we try to hang up posters in schools or local gas stations, and then we paint the local tire shop's window so that we can try to spread the word and get young ones to join for next year.
And why do you think it's important to raise awareness for 4-H?
Well, if we don't raise awareness for 4-H or spread the word, we're going to run out of kids in 4-H, so we got to try to get everyone we can.
And how old were you when you started in 4-H?
I was 8 years old when I started 4-H.
So you've been in this for a long time. What have your projects in 4-H been?
Well, I've done many different woodworking projects. I built a wagon, I built a headrest and some tables and chairs. But among all those other things, I've also done tractor driving contests and electricity projects.
Now, as your 4-H career comes to an end, what would you say you're really going to take away from your 4-H experience?
What I would take away from 4-H experience is all the hands-on techniques I've learned. Doing wood projects has taught me a whole lot. Tractor driving, that teaches me a lot too, and that teaches me about the field that I'm going into after school.
So would you recommend that someone younger than you join 4-H?
Yes, you can learn many, many things. I've learned so much, and I would recommend it to any young kids.
Again, that was Macoupin County 4-H member Cody Brown. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.